The House will come to order. Today is Monday, February 25th, 2008. This is the 11th day of the 2008 budget session of the 59th Wyoming Legislature. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Here. Anderson. Here. Bagby. Here. Berger. Here. Blake. Here. Brechtel. Here. Brown. Here. Buchanan. Here. Childers. Here. Kraft. Here. Davison. Dirks. Here. Dockstetter. Here. Edmonds. Here. Edwards. Here. Esquivel F. Esquivel K. Here. Gilmore. Gilmore excused. Gingery. Here. Goggles. Here. Hales. Here. Hallinan. Here. Hammonds. Here. Harshman. Harshman. Harshman excused. Harvey. Here. Eichel. Excuse. Eichel excused. Illaway. Here. Yagi. Here. Jones. Here. Jorgensen. Here. Landon, here. Lockhart, here. Lubno, here. Madden, here. Martin, here. McComey, here. Mercer, here. Meyer, here. Miller, here. Millen, Millen, Olson, here. Peterson, here. Philp, here. Korberg, here. Samuelson, here. Semlek, here. Shepperson, here. Simpson, here. Slater, here. Stewart, here. Stubson, here. Teeters, here. Thompson, Throne, here. Wallace, here. Warren, here. White, here. Zwanitzer Dan, here. Zwanitzer Dave, here. Mr. Speaker, here. Millen. Okay.
Our blessing for the day will be offered by the pastor Ernest Fitzhugh, representing Unity Missionary Baptist Church, Cheyenne. Reverend Fitzhugh.
Thank you for this great honor. I ask that you would bow your heads. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come together. Thank you, first of all, for this day. Thank you for all your many blessings that you've already blessed this session with. And as I bow and as I pray to you, I ask that you would lead, guide, and direct each and every one of them. That you would bless them with the blessing that they stand in need of. That you would bless their homes, their families, and their surroundings. And as they congregate together, men and women, that you allow them to be in unity as they come together to formulate laws and permeate ideals, O Father, that will govern this thy land. That peace upon this land, peace upon our city, upon our state, upon our nation. We thank you, Father, for every opportunity we have to serve thee. Now bless these people with the blessing that we stand in need of, and allow us, O God, to be able to come together in brotherly love and peace. And we thank you for each and every opportunity that you grant us, that we might enact the laws that governs us. For we realize that you are the ultimate judge and the ultimate lawgiver. But we thank you for each and every opportunity where we are to, that we can do our deeds and do our deeds in righteousness. And Lord, we thank you for this day. We ask that you will lead, guide, and direct them as they go forth in their duties. Bless them with the blessing that we so urgently need. In Jesus' name I do pray, and we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in our pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you in the morning.
Nice to have you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The House will come to order. The reading clerk will read the Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 22, 2008 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Teeters, Representative Millen.
Our doctor for the day will be Dr. Doug Schmitz from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Thank you, Doctor, for your service to the House. Members of the House, we are at that order of business of Senate files on first reading. The first Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 1.
Senate File 1 introduced by the Appropriation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1, 2008 and ending June 30, 2010.
Senate File 1 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 6, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Dockstetter, Gingrey, Mercer, Olson, Throne. Excused, Shepperson. Signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 10, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Jones, Jorgensen, Peterson, Philp, Warren, excused, Harshman, signed, Representative Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 67, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Jones, Jorgensen, Peterson, Philp, Warren, excused, Harshman, signed, Representative Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number six, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 63, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brown, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Goggles, Yagi, Slater, Thompson, excused, Eichel, signed, Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number six, Travel, Education, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 69, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Goggles, Yagi, Slater, Thompson, no, Brown, excused, Eichel, signed, Representative Childers, Chairman.
Members of the House, the Conference Committee for Senate File 1. Will be named this afternoon. Representative Gingrey.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, up here behind you, up in the gallery, I was going to say stands, but gallery, is students from Jackson Hole High School. They came down for Youth for Justice, and if you all could stand so they could see which ones you are, and they're all from Jackson Hole High School. And I would just point out that this past weekend, Jackson Hole High School won both the boys and girls state Nordic championships, which I used to be a member of that team back 100 pounds lighter.
Mr. Speaker.
Sorry. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I have the privilege of the floor.
Please do.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen. Also here from Cody, a Youth for Justice group, 19 kids and their sponsor, Deb White, and a couple chaperones, M.C. Roscoe and Marty Stannard. If you'd please stand so we can recognize the Cody Youth for Justice group. Thanks so much.
Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
You certainly may.
Members of the body, I'd like to call your attention to two very fine ranching people up here in the south balcony from Converse County, Mr. and Mrs. Frank E. Thorne.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Fellow representatives, I'd like to call attention to three special people from southwest Wyoming, specifically from Mountain View. We have our superintendent of schools up here, Mr. Jack Cozart, and the two board members, Mr. Mark Walker and Mr. John Conrad. They're to this balcony. Would you gentlemen please rise and welcome them to the House?
Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I'm glad we've got all of these young people here because they can hear about the great things that were done by the legislature last year and the Susan B. Komen Race for the Cure. We got second place out of all of the teams in the state. We raised north of $1,700, and in our midst is a lady who raised the seventh largest amount of anybody in the contest, our good Representative Lori Millen. Now, all of that said, for Lori, all of that said, I have some checks coming in. I would appreciate your getting them in early because this is a short session. If you don't have the forms, I've got extra copies for you. And let's not take second place next year. Let's get first place. And Lori and I are going to be around knocking on doors and knocking on whatever it takes to get those checks and commitments in. So appreciate your help.
Representative Goggles.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's not very often that someone from the Wind River country comes to Cheyenne, Wyoming. In the gallery behind us, board member from Fremont 14, Sandra Seabering. Let's give her a welcome to the Wyoming House.
Members of the House, we are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 42.
House Bill 42, introduced by Representative Landon, an act relating to the legislature regarding constituent service allowance.
House Bill 42, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 51.
House Bill 51, introduced by Representative Edwards, an act relating to motor vehicle registrations, multiple handicap license plates.
House Bill 51, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 69.
House Bill 69, introduced by the Management Council, an act relating to revision of inadvertent errors, revisers bill.
House Bill 69, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 75.
House Bill 75, introduced by the Management Council, an act relating to the legislature, legislative per diem.
House Bill 75, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 106.
House Bill 106, introduced by Representative Anderson, an act relating to brands, sheep, feedlot, exportation permit.
House Bill 106, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 107.
House Bill 107, introduced by Representative Anderson, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding property tax relief.
House Bill 107, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 108.
House Bill 108, introduced by Representative Buchanan, an act relating to railroads and public highway crossings.
House Bill 108, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 127.
House Bill 127, introduced by Representative Simpson, an act relating to controlled substances, prescription drug physician shopping.
House Bill 127, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 130.
House Bill 130, introduced by Representative Davison, an act relating to establishment of highways, establishment of public roads.
House Bill 130, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 135.
House Bill 135, introduced by Representative Cohey, an act relating to standards for petroleum products.
House Bill 135, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 136.
House Bill 136, introduced by Representative Cohey, an act relating to motor vehicles regarding dyed fuel enforcement.
House Bill 136, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 142.
House Bill 142, introduced by Representative Edwards, an act relating to driver services.
House Bill 142, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 155.
House Bill 155, introduced by Representative Lubnow, an act relating to health care services, recruitment of physicians and dentists.
House Bill 155, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 169.
House Bill 169, introduced by Representative Dirks, an act relating to public improvements, contracts for public improvement bid requirements.
There is an amendment. Representative Dirks.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move House second reading amendment number one to House Bill 169. And what this does, so this is the inflationary adjustment on these public bids. The bill started at $25,000. There was some testimony in committee. Some people wanted it moved up to $50,000. I took the compromise position of $35,000, and I would request approval from the body.
Seeing no objection, the motion is to adopt second reading amendment number one to House Bill 169. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no. Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 169 has been adopted. House Bill 169, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 1.
House Joint Resolution number 1, introduced by Representative Brown, and Joint Resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to modify the signature requirements for a petition for an initiative or referendum.
House Joint Resolution 1, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading consent list of House Bill 52, House Bill 53, House Bill 77, House Bill 82, House Bill 88, House Bill 98, House Bill 102, House Bill 113, House Bill 132, House Bill 133, House Bill 134, House Bill 141, House Bill 143, House Bill 160, and House Bill 173. House Joint Resolution 6, and House Joint Resolution 10.
The reading clerk will read the bills through the enacting clause.
House Bill 52, introduced by Developmental Disabilities, an act relating to Medicaid, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 53, introduced by Representative Dockstader, an act relating to garnishment of wages, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 77, introduced by Representative White, an act relating to education regarding tuition, dependents of disabled firefighters and EMTs, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 82, introduced by Representative Lockhart, an act relating to medical care regarding trauma care services, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 88, introduced by the Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development, omnibus water bill planning, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 98, introduced by Representative Escobel Kay, an act relating to professions and occupations regarding speech pathologists licensing, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 102, introduced by Representative Landon, an act relating to quality child care, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 113, introduced by Representative McComey, an act relating to school finance minimum teacher resources, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 132, introduced by Representative Jorgensen, an act relating to professions and occupations regarding surveyors and engineers, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 133, introduced by Representative Anderson, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding taxation of helium, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 134, introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to school districts, immunity, and liability insurance, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 141, introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to civil procedure, forcible entry, and detainer amendments, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 143, introduced by Representative Alden, an act relating to Memorial Hospital districts, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 160, introduced by Representative Edwards, an act relating to cooperative electric utilities, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 173, introduced by Representative Harshman, an act relating to aggravated assault and battery, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Joint Resolution number 6, introduced by Representative Illaway, and Joint Resolution requesting Congress to amend the Satellite Home Viewers Improvement Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Joint Resolution number 10, introduced by Representative Dirks, a joint resolution requesting Congress to support the Local Radio Freedom Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall House Bill 52, House Bill 53, House Bill 77, House Bill 82, House Bill 88, House Bill 98, House Bill 102, House Bill 113, House Bill 132, House Bill 133, House Bill 134, House Bill 141, House Bill 143, House Bill 160, House Bill 173, House Joint Resolution 6, and House Joint Resolution 10 pass the House. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson, Bagby, Berger, Blake, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Dockstader, Edmonds, Edwards, Escobel F., Escobel K., Gilmore excused, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Eichel excused, Illaway, Yagi, Jones, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubnow, Madden, Martin, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Olson, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Samuelson, Simlek, Shepperson, Simpson. Slater. Stewart. Stebson. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Warren. White. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 52, are there any changes? Shepperson, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused. As to House Bill 53, are there any changes? Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused. As to House Bill 77, are there any changes? Lubno, aye to no. Shepherds, Lubno conflict? Shepperson, aye to no. Mercer, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Berger, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 53 ayes, 4 no, 2 excused, 1 conflict. As to House Bill 82, are there any changes? Anderson, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dave, aye to no. Lockhart, aye to no. Philp, aye to no. White, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. And I have Stewart as a conflict. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 ayes, 6 noes, 2 excused, 1 conflict. As to House Bill 88, are there any changes? Lubno conflict? Conflict on 88. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 2 excused, 1 conflict. As to House Bill 98, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 102, are there any changes? Semlich, aye to no. Mercer, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 ayes, 4 noes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 113, are there any changes? Teeters, aye to no. Buchanan, aye to no. Stewart, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dave, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 53 ayes, 5 noes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 132, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Miller, aye to no. Lockhart, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Wallace, aye to no. Mercer, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 ayes, 7 noes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 133, are there any changes? Miller, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused. As to House Bill 134, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 141, are there any changes? Gingery, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused. As to House Bill 143, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 160, are there any changes? Teeters, aye to no. Alden, aye to no. McComey, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 55 ayes, 3 noes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 173, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to House Joint Resolution 6, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to House Joint Resolution 10, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 52, House Bill 53, House Bill 77, House Bill 82, House Bill 88, House Bill 98, House Bill 102, House Bill 113, House Bill 132, House Bill 133, House Bill 134, House Bill 141, House Bill 143, House Bill 160, House Bill 173, House Joint Resolution 6, and House Joint Resolution 10 have passed the House. We are now at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 10.
House Bill 10, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to state parks and historic sites regarding fees, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are some amendments. Representative Semlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 10. There's two pieces of information here that you will need, the corrected copy of the amendment that was distributed, and also a regional comparison chart that's in your basket that's critical to my amendment. I would ask that you pull that out and take a look at that. What this amendment proposes to do is to go into the page 5, line 5, where we're talking about the camping fees that are charged at our state parks for residents and non-residents. And what this amendment proposes to do is to reinstate the non-resident fee back to $8 a night. Now, I'll tell you, members of the House, I could care less about what we the fees that are set. That's not what I'm up here to try to debate with you at all. My concern is that as you look at the regional comparison chart here, you will find that in all of the surrounding states, when we compare what the fees are for in the first column there, the daily use for resident and the daily use for non-resident in state parks in the six surrounding states around Wyoming, you'll find that all of those fees between the resident and non-resident are exactly the same. You go on down the list for camping, non-resident and resident camping fees. Go across all these states, the fees are non-resident fees are the same as the resident fees. You can continue on down there and make all those comparisons. So my question to you is why do we need to encourage people to come to this state through all the work we've done in the tourism department? Why do we set aside the rates that we charge for our non-residents for our state parks and camping and our other fees, as far as that goes? I'm just targeting for our discussion now just for the camping fees and suggest to them that they need to pay a higher fee when they come to Wyoming camping than what we would charge them if we was to go to their state. I think that's an equity issue. I think it sends a very bad message to the people who intend to come to Wyoming and use our state parks. When we go there, we pay the same fees as their resident. You don't hardly see this in any other places except for when you get into the hunting and fishing licenses. That's not what we're talking about. It sends a very negative message to our people, and I'll tell you why I'm targeting the camping, because it's not going to be the department It's not going to be the people at the fee booth that's going to get the wrath of this. It's going to be our concessionaires. They have foreign relationships with campers from surrounding states over the years, and now we're suggesting to them that if they come to Wyoming, you know, they're going to pay a higher fee than what our residents do. And I don't think that's a message you want to send. I think it's detrimental to our industry, to our tourism industry, and I know that what's proposed in this amendment doesn't bring those fees, come totally in line. I think it'd be asking too much for you to consider going back to the same fee as residents, but just take it back to $8 instead of increasing it to 11. We are supposed to be the equality state. I think we need to send that message to our out-of-state residents who come here and participate in the activities that our state parks offer. Thank you.
Representative Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment, you know, I think that the department put a lot of thought into the increase in the fees. And for regional comparison, admittedly, some of the states for camping is the same as residents for other states. Ours has been higher. We're allowed by law no more than double, and we actually don't quite double it with our increase. And I think the comments that we heard in committee and the comments that I've heard from other folks is we need to make improvements in our state parks. And I'm a firm believer in the user fee, and I think the committee was too. And I would think that these are modest increase. And while I respect the comments of the gentleman from District 1, I think there's more than one place in coming in the northeastern part of the state, and with people that are coming in from the southern part of the state and other parts, I think it's highly appropriate that we put these increases in place. So I would urge defeat of the amendment.
Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, all I've heard from my constituents and the two parks west of Cheyenne is that those folks are overrun with out-of-state campers. If you can afford to drive up the road and if you can afford to hook up your camper and come out of state, you can afford to pay the extra $3. So in deference to my good friend from District 1 in the Northeast, on and against the amendment, I think we need to do this.
Further discussion prior to the sponsor of the amendment. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just call your attention to the comparisons that are on the handout that you should have. And if we look at camping non-resident, and with the exception of one state, they all say they're the same as resident. So look at camping resident. Look at the $8 that's being advocated here. Well, every state except one on that chart for their resident is charging the same as or more than we're charging for a non-resident. We want to go from $8 to $11, but look at the range in the camping resident in those other states, and particularly look at the high side, $20, $22, $15, $21, $18, and 21. So on the high side, they're all above the number. So I think we're putting in a very reasonable number that will take us up. It's still below one of our neighboring states' resident fees. And on the others, all it does is take us a little bit above what their resident fee is. So when you look at the top number, I think we're really reasonable. When you look at the bottom number, I think that the increase is justified, and I would urge you to vote no on this amendment.
Further discussion prior to the sponsor of the amendment. Representative Semlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, again, I don't have a concern about what the actual fees are. I just call out to you as you look over this chart. that we're asking our non-residents to come in here and pay a higher fee than our residents, and we just simply don't do that when we go to the other surrounding states and enjoy their state parks. I think it's counterproductive to economic development and tourism, and it sends a message that the people who are coming into Wyoming must be a greater problem to us and cost us more than if we go to the other states. And I don't think that's a message you want to send. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 10. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 10 has failed. We are now on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 10. Representative Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 10. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a page ahead of the previous amendment, and this just considers how much it costs to go into a park. You know, we aren't talking about a lot of money here. We're talking about $4 versus $3, $6 versus $5. Whenever I think of that little envelope that you put your money in, and just kind of, I just don't think it'll be a great hardship to on the parks not to have that extra dollar. And it just seems that culturally, 3 is just a really easy number, and I don't think there'll be much resistance to the citizens of Wyoming to having $3. I think 4 causes some resistance. The primary thing is I think we want families to use the parks. I even question that we have a fee at all, and that we just don't go ahead and accept that as a cost of the state, just like a city park. How many city parks do you have to pay in order to go in? And so this is just a proposal to bring this to a more realistic and a little bit easier dollar figure for people to afford so that they can, hopefully it'll encourage people to use our parks more.
Representative Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I too want to encourage people to use our parks. I think this is a reasonable fee to be increased. I urge you to again look at the regional comparisons. Folks, this is a user's fee. And I think we've had discussions during the budget and so forth about less money that's coming into the state. User fees are a way to take care of what we need to do in the way of maintaining our parks. That's what this is a user's fee. Eventually, those additional dollars that we see flowing into the general fund aren't going to be there. And if you look at the comparison to other areas, what we're asking for is a modest increase. It's not very much, and we want to improve the parks. Let's do it with a user fee. Own it against the amendment.
Representative Bagby.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking in favor of the amendment, and I'll tell you why. A lot of our seniors are on fixed incomes, and they enjoy fishing, but what's really hurting them when they go to the state parks is the high price of gasoline. And you take somebody that's on Social Security and makes $400 or $500 a month, this is a pretty big increase. And everything keeps going up and up, and they're slowly squeezing our seniors out. So I would speak in favor of the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Landon.
Well, Mr. Speaker, if we're talking about user fees, you know, we just rejected a user fee on a gasoline tax that would have been about 1% or 2% of the total cost of gas, and here we have a 100% increase. And I just think for the citizens of Wyoming that this is something that we don't need to raise that much. I just think it'd be a lot more palatable to have a $3 and $5 rate. So I'd encourage the body to consider that. Thank you.
The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 10. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 10 has failed. House Bill 10, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Blake. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Childers. Kraft. Davison. Dirks. Dockstetter. Edmonds. Edwards. Esquivel F. Esquivel K. Gilmore excused. Gingery. Goggles. Hales. Hallinan. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Eichel excused. Illaway. Yagi. Jones. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart. Lubno. Madden. Martin. McComey. Mercer. Meyer. Miller. Millen. Olson. Peterson. Philp. Korberg. Samuelson. Simlick. Shepperson. Simpson. Slater. Stewart. Stubson. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Warren. White. Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. Alden. Alden. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Landon. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 32 ayes, 26 noes, 2 excused.
House Bill 10, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 10 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 11.
House Bill 11, introduced by Representative Wallace, an act relating to health and safety regarding Wyoming homemade products, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 11 and ask for its favorable consideration. I do like this bill and encourage its passage, but I have some small concerns with how this process is going to work while still offering some basic consumer protections. What this amendment does is allow some minimal government oversight, so it's tough to say it's a friendly amendment, but I do believe it's needed. On page 3, line 7, inserting the clause that a Wyoming homemade product operation may not exceed $10,000 in gross sales receipts in any calendar year for all prepared food items. If you have a homemade products operation and you're reaching above this limit, I mean, you're basically competing against a commercial enterprise and you should be subject to the same rules and regulations as everyone else in the marketplace. Then on page 7, or page 5, line 7, and page 5, line 18, basically, we're allowing a homemade product operation to be inspected upon the Department of Health or local health department's receipt of a credible complaint. Currently, how we do it is we inspect every establishment once per year in this state. The bill doesn't allow any inspection, so I guess I believe there should be an allowance for an inspection if a complaint is received. I don't believe that's burdensome. I don't believe it's going to happen very often, but I do believe that basic protection needs to be in there, that we have this availability to go and inspect if a health problem arises. I would stand for any comments.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge you to vote no on this amendment. While I appreciate the bringer of the amendment's effort to temper the language that was proposed by the department, the fact is that this would open every Wyoming homemade operation to government inspection. The department's proposal unequivocally subjected every private home that wanted to sell safe foods to government inspection and required registration with the department. Remember, folks, we're talking about inherently safe products, baked goods, jams, jellies, fruit butters. The kind of food that is perfectly legal for a nonprofit organization to sell, the exact same loaf of banana bread that you could sell at your school's fundraiser, you could not sell at a farmer's market without registering with the state of Wyoming, inviting government inspectors into your home to paw through your pantry and criticize your grandmother's techniques. In testimony, in the committee, the only opposition to this bill came from government food inspectors. When pressed, they could not come up with a single instance of illness at a church function traced to these safe foods. Maybe a case of homemade ice cream some years ago, possibly a case of bad salsa, neither of which would be allowed under this legislation. And what is the purpose of limiting people to only $10,000 in gross receipts? How would you possibly enforce this? So, we would have government inspectors not only poking through our kitchen cabinets, but digging into our personal checking accounts as well. Why would we want to limit the entrepreneurial initiative of Wyoming citizens? Why would we limit the initiative of a family that decides they're going to make the $15,000 they need to send their kid to college, for instance, and the resource they have is a good kitchen, the ability to grow or acquire the ingredients, and the gumption to cook it and haul it and sell it at a farmer's market or other outlets? This seems totally counterproductive to me. The whole point is to enhance local economies. Besides, how does limiting someone's income increase public safety? You know, folks, human beings have been eating all sorts of food prepared in home kitchens for our whole lives. And this is something that has been occurring for as long as there have been human beings, without government inspection. Human beings have been trading and sharing and selling and buying food throughout the history of mankind. We do not need this amendment. We do not need this kind of government intrusion. Please vote no.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment for the bill, let's keep government out of our mom's kitchen and out of our grandma's kitchen. Please vote this amendment down and vote for the bill.
Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, I was not strongly in favor of this for a couple of reasons, one of which it's a budget session. I wasn't sure it was germane for this session. That said, testimony before the Minerals Committee was that Mrs. Fields started with cookies in her kitchen, and look where she went. I would not want to handicap anyone with $10,000 and then out. On and against the amendment.
Further discussion prior to the sponsor of the amendment. Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd ask members of this gallery to think about, how do we know the food we eat is safe? I mean, we have a bowl of candy here. I have no idea where it came from, who provided it. Oh, thank you, Representative Buchanan. But somewhere in the back of our minds, when you're eating food, you realize that it's been inspected, that there are safety requirements involved, that someone is looking out for your well-being, and the product in front of you is safe. And not that I think anyone is going to purposefully poison anyone, but there needs to be some kind of oversight, some type of regulation, minimal. I'm not saying the government needs to be knocking on your door every day inspecting your kitchen. I'm saying if only a health problem arises. I'm saying if your kid has an allergic reaction to something they eat and the product, you know, someone didn't say that nuts or soy are an allergen, which are increasingly, we find an increasing amount of these allergic reactions happening, especially in kids nowadays, that if, you know, someone made nut bread on one side of the stove and non-nut bread another and somehow they contaminated and your kid dies, I mean, there needs to be a way to go and inspect to see how this happened. With a large-scale, you know, food epidemic, the health department already has cause to come in and do this. But if it's a small-scale, one event, if you find some bread with mold on it, I'm not asking for complete government oversight of the private house and your private kitchen. But what I am asking is that if you're in a commercial marketplace and you're selling a product for money, trying to make a profit, you have to be subject to the same rules and regulations as everybody else, and at least you should be able to accept that if a problem arises, someone should be able to come inspect. And I think with regards to the $10,000 limit, you know, if you're exceeding that limit, this isn't a, you know, a homemade mom-and-pop operation. This is a full-time job, or at least a part-time job. You're doing this to make money, and you're competing against other people in the marketplace who are subject to restrictions or regulations that you're not subject to. So I don't think this does any great harm to the bill. I don't think it allows the government to come into your door and confiscate your pantry. I think it's a basic level of consumer protection that we have come to rely on in this state, and I would ask you to pass the amendment.
The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number one to House Bill 11. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no.
No.
Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 11 has failed.
Mr. Speaker.
House Bill 11, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel F.
Aye.
Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore excused. Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales. Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds. Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
Aye.
Eichel excused. Illaway. Illaway. Yagi.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Olson.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Samuelson,
aye. Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Simpson,
aye.
Slater,
aye.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
no.
Wallace,
aye.
Warren,
aye.
White,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Lockhart, no to aye. Millen, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 ayes, 7 noes, 2 excused.
House Bill 11, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 11 has passed the House. Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would respectfully request, according to Rule 9-3C, that House Bill 117 be laid back one day. We have another amendment ready, and it cannot be distributed in time today.
Seeing no objection, and without objection, House Bill 117 will be laid back one day to the third reading regular list tomorrow. Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also respectfully request, according to House Rule 9-3C, that House Bill 118 be laid back one additional day.
Absent objection, House Bill 118 will be laid back until tomorrow's third reading regular list. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 12.
House Bill 12, introduced by the Mental Health, an act relating to military affairs regarding veterans' mental health appropriations, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Landon.
Mr. Speaker, upon further considering the amendment, the sponsors of this amendment believe that this issue is probably more complicated than what a third reading amendment can allow for as far as all parties being involved in this. So with your permission, we respectfully withdraw this amendment.
Without objection, third reading amendment number one to House Bill 12 has been withdrawn. House Bill 12, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Blake. Brechtel. Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel F.
Aye.
Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore, excused. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Hallinan, would you confirm your vote, please? Conflict. Okay. Hammonds, aye. Harshman, aye. Harvey?
Aye.
Eichel, excused. Illaway?
Aye.
Yagi?
Aye.
Jones?
Aye.
Jorgensen?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Lockhart?
Aye.
Lubnow? Lubnow? Madden?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
McComey?
Aye.
Mercer?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Millen?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Philp?
Aye.
Korberg?
Aye.
Samuelson?
Aye.
Simlek.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Slater.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Warren.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Excuse.
Lubnow excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 3 excused, 1 conflict.
House Bill 12, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 12 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 137.
House Bill 137, introduced by Representative Korberg, an act relating to crimes and offenses regarding the Castle Doctrine, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 137 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden.
No.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Kraft.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Dockstetter. Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Esquivel F.
Aye.
Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore, excused. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
No.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey. Harvey. Eichel, excused. Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jones. Jones.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Samuelson.
Aye.
Simlek. Shepperson.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Slater.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters. Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Warren.
No.
White.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 54 ayes, 4 noes, 2 excused.
House Bill 137, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 137 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 145.
House Bill 145, introduced by Representative Simpson, an act relating to administration of government regarding professional and commercial licenses, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Representative Floyd Escobar.
Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 145, and I will withdraw the amendment at the appropriate time. Excuse me. Mr. Speaker, one of the principles that I try to keep in mind, don't do it too often, but it's the principle of unintended consequences. And, you know, I think in regard to this particular bill, you know, I think we should be cautious in proceeding forward. I would think that maybe an interim study might might be appropriate. And the reason I say that is because of the unintended consequences that we might not have adequately anticipated. The unintended consequences to the burden that it might cause our local government agencies, our state agencies, the burdens that may cause our local industries, and the burdens that may cause our neighbors and our friends. This legislation was referred to as similar to the one in Colorado. And from what I understand, in terms of what I've read, is that the legislation in Colorado has caused burdens to the state. It's caused burdens to the agencies. It's raised suspicions among the neighbors. And it's cost the state around $2 million and hasn't really addressed the concern that we all have. In fact, it's kind of ironic that in Saturday's newspaper, there was an article that today the Colorado legislature, apparently there's some proposals to establishing an office in Mexico to recruit workers for Colorado. Mr. Speaker, in terms of unintended consequences, I'd like to refer to two examples. The first example has to do, it occurred several years ago when there was another invasion. This invasion was by Honda, Mazda, Toyota, the Japanese auto dealers. At that time, because of the fear of the Japanese market, the Detroit automakers visited with President Reagan and encouraged him to talk to the Japanese government to have the Japanese automakers voluntarily reduce their exports. The Japanese automakers were in compliance with the export-import stipulations, but the Detroit automakers wanted those exports to be reduced even further. So President Reagan talked to the Japanese government. The exports were voluntarily reduced. But what happened next was that the Japanese automakers started building their plants in the United States, thereby evading the export-import restrictions. The other example in terms of unintended consequences was another invasion some years before. And what occurred at that time was that there was a fear. And because of that fear, a certain group of people were rounded up to the point that here in Wyoming, at one point, the third largest city in Wyoming was composed of nothing but, quote-unquote, minorities. Of course, it wasn't known as a city or a town. It was known as a relocation center. And those were our own citizens. Therefore, Mr. Speaker, I would ask that we be cautious on this approach, that we do an interim study to look at all the unintended consequences, and that we refrain from fanning the flames of fear, fanning the flames of ethnic suspicions, and that we look at this with a little bit more with a more methodical approach and see what, in fact, would happen with this type of legislation. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this point, I'll withdraw the amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion. House Bill 145 having been read three separate
Speaker,
times.
Speaker, I'm sorry. Kind of slow on the draw there.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. I haven't been able to find that article that is quoted in the handout that's on your desk. And I would think, well, it's my belief that anything that you would like to get into interim study, it has a greater chance if it can pass your body, which means this house, not my body. But so if this is something that does need interim study, maybe we can have a better chance at that if we pass it through the House and say to the Senate, this was something we felt was important, and here's the vote. I certainly understand the issues that go with this bill, and it does have a consequence for everyone who wants to get a professional license or a public benefit. You have to prove you're a lawful resident of the United States, and that's the intent of the bill. So it is the intent to make people have that documentation, and if they don't, they can't have that. It allows Social Security cards, driver's licenses, alien registration cards, and really anything else that law enforcement thinks is adequate or verifiable. And I think it also clarifies a provision in the workers' comp statutes that makes it clear that an employer who hires someone who might be an illegal, if they believe truly that the documentation they've seen makes them believe that that person is legal, they're protected, and the employee is protected. So I think that's an improvement over the current state of the law in Wyoming. Certainly the issue of Colorado talking about establishing an office in Mexico has a lot more to do with the national immigration policy of how many legal workers are allowed into this country than anything to do with this bill. We need legal workers in this country. We need more legal workers in this country. But that's not really related to this bill, and I just ask you to vote no on the amendment and pass the bill. Thank you.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question. I think that we get so busy in the session that we vote for a lot of things that we don't really know what we're voting on. And because I have felt previously that this is a national issue, I've not paid attention to it. But it's for the bringer of the bill, which is tied to the bringer of the amendment. My question would be, I've worked in a migrant program. In my community, we have migrant workers who come every summer, and their children go to migrant school, and I had the opportunity to teach in that school, and so I came to know many of them very well. One situation involved, we were doing bar graphs, and so I asked how many of them were U.S. citizens and how many of them were citizens of Mexico, and we did bar graphs showing that, and I discovered that the one boy in the class who could maybe speak four words of English was the only American citizen. And the rest of the kids who had exactly, you know, Worland, Wyoming accents like I do were citizens of Mexico. And as to whether they were there legally, I don't know. And so my question for you is, what is the legal status of children and what services would this bill allow us to continue to provide to them?
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My concern with the bill is somewhat technical, but because my community has quite a few people that are here legally, but they're here on what's called H-2B visas, and normally if you come to my community, we've worked very hard to make sure everyone's legal and to be working under the H-2B visa program. My concern is, if you look on page 2 of the bill, Romanet 3, the use of the word secure and verifiable document, that is sort of left open, but then we go on to say including but not limited to. So they could actually take other documents. I'm worried that by having the list there, actually, that some people will interpret that, some of these folks that are going to have to interpret this, that they're going to think it's going to have to be one of those. And the one I'm sort of concerned about are what's called H-4 visa holders. H-4 is, let's say your husband comes here under a H-2B visa program, and just for those that aren't familiar with H-2B visas, my community has a strong relationship with one community. It's actually a mountain community in the country of Mexico. So most of if you see Latino workers in Jackson, they're most normally all from the same town in Mexico, and because we've worked this strong relationship with that town. They come up here on H-2B visas on usually 4 month cycles. They work for 4 months and they go back and then they reapply and then they come back. And they work in our hotels and restaurants. and our hotel owners and our restaurant owners have worked very hard to create that system. The difficulty is that the husband may come with an H-2B visa. The mother and the children can come under what's called H-4 visas. The difficulty is if you look under subsection B, the resident alien card, it then goes on to have three conditions. It has to have your personal identifying information. It's the number two that I have concern with is evidence of authorization of employment. An H-4 individual would not have authorization of employment. That's what's called an EAD. An EAD is an employment authorization document. And an H-4, person carrying an H-4 would not have an EAD. So they wouldn't qualify under this provision. Now, I will point out, I mean, it does say secure and verifiable document, so they could produce some other document. My concern is that by limiting it and saying including but not limited, some of the folks will think they have to have that. It's somewhat of a minor issue, but it's actually a larger issue when you get to my community where I'm concerned that many of the children that carry H-4s would be denied some services, potentially, in particular schooling, even though they're here legally. So that would just be my question, and perhaps that's something that can be fixed on the Senate side, but it's just a concern.
Further discussion. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With regard to the legal status of children question, I'm not absolutely sure, and unfortunately these are third reading questions that I wish I knew the answer to, but I don't think I do. I would assume that the child has the status of the parent, but if the parents have two different statuses, I don't know what happens there. I do have a memo from the Occupational Licensing Director of our state agency, which goes into and lists acceptable documents to establish U.S. citizenship. And it goes beyond those listed in page 2 and 3 of the bill that goes to a little bit to the second question. And then it also has another list of documentation to establish alien status. An alien lawfully admitted for permanent residence under the Immigration and Naturalization Act must submit supporting documentation to establish legal presence under one of the following categories, and it lists a number of categories here. I don't see the H-4 visa there. And I was trying to recall whether there was any discussion in the committee about that. But none comes to mind. I think it was the I-94 visa that was discussed, so I had something in my mind that it was related. But I'm sorry, but I don't know the answer to those two questions.
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Speaker, just one comment on the bill. There's been some discussion or question on what impact this bill would have on education for children who were not citizens of the United States. And the bill is fairly clear that those sorts of services, public education for kids, would not be impacted by this bill. It's only post-secondary education that would come into issue for folks that don't have verifiable documentation. So as far as those questions regarding kids that may or may not have documentation, it would not impact their ability to attend school or to get a public education.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The good representative from Natrona County made me think of another question for the sponsor. Does this bill prohibit students who've graduated from our high schools from obtaining post-secondary education, or does it simply prohibit them from obtaining financial aid to obtain this post-secondary education? So that's another question about the bill, Mr. Speaker. is we do have students who, through no fault of their own, were brought here illegally by their parents at a young age. They're more American than they are any other country. And they've graduated from our schools, and there's a question as to whether they can obtain then a college education, even though they have no ability to go back to their country, which has never been their home.
Representative Ken Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess my question would be for the previous speaker from Natrona County about how you would say that it doesn't affect kids in elementary schools or preschools when their parents are the ones that are being affected, that it just would probably adversely affect them emotionally, as whether or not would they be able to even attend school anymore if their parents are being detained or deported in that respect. So I think that is a concern for some of the younger children that are legal citizens in the United States of America in the state of Wyoming.
Representative Samuelson.
Mr. Speaker, as a pro tem for the majority floor leader, I can answer that one question since he's already spoken twice from the good representative from Cheyenne. But the definition of the post-secondary education is defined in line 16 as a state or local public benefit.
Further discussion? Seeing none, the amendment has been withdrawn. House Bill 145 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden. Anderson. Bagby. Berger. Blake. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Childers. Kraft. Davison. Dirks. Dockstetter. Edmonds. Edwards. Escobel F. No. Escobel K. No. Gilmore excused. Gingery. No. Goggles. No. Hales. No. Hallinan. Aye. Hammonds. No. Harshman. Aye. Harvey. Harvey. Aye. Eichel excused. Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Lockhart, aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
McComey,
no.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
no.
Olson,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Samuelson,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Simpson,
aye.
Slater,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
no.
Wallace,
no.
Warren,
no.
White,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Davison, no to aye. Alden, no to aye. Meyer, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 40 ayes, 18 noes, 2 excused.
House Bill 145 having received the affirmative vote of the majorities of the members elected to the House, House Bill 145 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 151.
House Bill 151, introduced by Representative Childers, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding property tax relief program amendments, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are some amendments. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 151. This, again, legislators, is another chance to get some figures in front of you to see how you want to handle the situation where there's an ability to avail yourselves of two different programs that are out there, the property tax or property tax relief 92 and this bill 151. Right now, the way the bill, both bills read, you can take advantage of both programs. If you would get your
one of this white sheet out that has Bill 151 on it. That'll go a long ways toward explaining a lot of what ifs. Certainly these are WAGs, which is spelled WG, wild guesses that we make on this situation, and that's all we can do. Right now on the property tax relief program that we have on page 3 of this program, you'll see there are about 4,000 people availing themselves of this program and get an average refund of $680. That's the one that we're talking about here. It's not property tax. It's all taxes. Income tax, no refund on income tax in Wyoming, but fuel taxes, sales tax, property tax, whatever tax. It's for the elderly and the disabled. We have raised the lowered the requirements, I should say, so there could be more people. Now, if we take eligible households on the bill that we've passed, House Bill 92, that's on the front page. There's potentially 29,000 households in Wyoming that would qualify for that. Last year, the tax program attracted 6%. So we made a wild guess and said, what if 20% of those 29 apply for it the first year, which is, well, that's what it is, wild guess. How many will do that? That means that there would be 5,800 enrollees. And if 33% of them, again, a wild guess, still qualified for the property, for the tax relief program, which you just see on the back page, that's how many qualified for that program, both programs, last year. Then that would, there would be an average refund of $239. Again, a wild guess, the average refund. Probably shouldn't vary much of that. So they would, those people would get a potentially 467,000 additional dollars. Then if they could get both programs, there would be another $600 available there for a total of $920. That if you leave the program the way it is right now, this amendment takes care of that. This amendment would not allow themselves, anyone, to take advantage of both programs. If you turn down this amendment, then they would, that potential would be there, and it would be another $1.7 million $1.7 million distributed to those in need and those who had a property tax refund coming. Now, those are all a lot of ifs, because we just don't know how many people will avail themselves of the program and all that. And so that's what the and this amendment also includes they could not get veterans benefits as well as others. If this amendment fails, I'll bring another amendment that will not allow veterans to avail themselves of both programs, but if this one passes, we'll not need that other amendment. So we'll try to answer any question. This kind of explains it on the front sheet there. The other sheets or other pieces of the spreadsheets are somewhat explanatory. And, again, there's a lot of assumptions there. But we wanted to give you a chance to, whether you decided people should have the opportunity to avail themselves of both programs or just one of them.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to add one small thing to that, if you go to the back page of the handout, you'll see at the bottom line, we're just kind of looking at a total state averages here. And to give you a comparison of what we're hypothesizing here is that you see the number of the total number of refunds for the property tax relief program of 604, that new number from that's lifted right from the front page is 5,800, okay? And if you assume that a 33.61, at least historically, 33.61 people that qualified for the property tax relief program also applied for and were successful in getting the elderly and disabled program, okay? So if we assume 33.61% of that 5,800, that number 203 in the second to the last column, that number would be 1,949, okay? And then the cost of that benefit would be, as you saw on the front page there. Now, the other thing that wasn't mentioned is that it's theoretically possible without this amendment that someone could qualify for the veterans exemption as well. And that's worth approximately, you know, in an average county, $210, all right? All right, so if you interface all three of these programs, you know, and you assume we have a hypothetical person that gets the average return, the average benefit in the elderly program, which would be 680, and the bottom line there, see the 680.28, and the average return for the property tax relief program, that's 239. So those two together get you up to 920. And then again, if you ended up with someone that would qualify for the veterans program, that would be another 210 or so. So the total tax benefits, if they, you know, without this amendment, would be up to $1,130. So that's kind of where it is. We just wanted you to know what the ramifications of the vote is, and you know, vote accordingly. Thank you,
Representative Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, first off, as far as the handout and the discussions of WG, I would beg to differ that it's more like a SWG, a scientific wild guess. And I think it, all that means is there's some thought put into these discussions. And considering what LSO has to go through in this, I think it's highly appropriate that it's an SWG and not a WG. Now, as far as the amendment's concerned, I certainly understand the concern by the chair of the Revenue Committee as well as others about taking advantage of more than one program. I thoroughly understand that, and I do believe that there are a number of people in this state that would need more than one program, but that being said, trying to determine who would be benefiting too much from taking advantage of more than one program would truly be a WG. And for that reason, I'm just going to leave it up to the body to vote the amendment up or down. I think it's highly important that we pass this bill, and the amendment might be appropriate for that, but I'll leave that up to the body.
Further discussion prior to the sponsor. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and certainly I'm not advocating either way here. I just wanted to get the information out to you, to what and I appreciate the chairman of that committee there to call it a scientific wild guess, and I think that's what it is. We did as much, had the research people do, come up with some figures as close as we could. We don't know how many people. I would add, too, that there's sufficient funds in the right now, everybody believes, to carry us at least till next year. We'll be take no additional appropriations, regardless of which way we go on this. And that's where we are. I certainly, if you defeat this amendment, I'll bring another one to take care of the veterans exemptions that if you want to look at it by itself.
The motion is to adopt third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 151. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to the motion signify by saying no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 151 has been adopted. House Bill 151 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Pardon me. There is a Second Amendment. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I'd respectfully withdraw that amendment.
Without objection, third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 151 has been withdrawn. House Bill 151 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Dockstetter.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards. Edwards. Esquivel F.
Aye.
Esquivel K.
Aye.
Gilmore excused. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Goggles.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Eichel excused. Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp. Korberg,
aye.
Samuelson,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Simpson,
aye.
Slater,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Warren,
aye.
White,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Edwards,
excused.
Edwards excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused.
House Bill 151, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 151 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 153.
House Bill 153, introduced by Representative Lockhart, an act relating to economic development, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Members of the House, House Bill 153 has some connotation towards the Wyoming Constitution and does require a two-thirds vote of those elected to the House of Representatives. House Bill 153 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Alden.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Childers. Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Dockstetter,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards, excused, Esquivel F,
aye.
Esquivel K,
aye.
Gilmore, excused, Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Eichel, excused, Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jones,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Samuelson,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Simpson,
aye.
Slater,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
Wallace, aye.
Warren,
aye.
White,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 1 no, 3 excused.
House Bill 153, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 153 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House recess until 2 p.m.
Committee announcements. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet promptly. House 18, and we'll discuss Senate File 11, in gross subdivisions, large acreage parcels, and if time permits, Senate File 48, reporting requirements.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, your House Committee number 4, Education, will meet tonight upon adjournment in room H10, where we will just take up Senate File 21, Hathaway Scholarship Program, and Senate File 22, Engrossed School Facilities Amendments.
Further announcements. You have heard the motion. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. All of those opposed say no. We stand in recess until 2 p.m. today.